We have been reading the prophecy given by our Lord Jesus Christ, and almost every verse in chapter 24. And then we come to chapter 25, and it's all red letter, and he is continuing his prophetic message. We had in our lesson last week how the coming of the Lord, how sudden it's going to be when he comes to the earth. It's going to happen suddenly. And remember the word that was emphasized? It was faithfulness in last week's lesson. Well, now the Lord Jesus speaks another parable. In Matthew 24, he gave the parable of the fig tree. Well, now he gives another parable in chapter 25, and that's the parable of the 10 virgins. And the word tonight that stands out that in this parable is, or maybe I should say the thought, is readiness. Readiness. I'm just going to read it, the 13 verses of chapter 25. Then shall the kingdoms of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out," or going out. And but the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye and go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, see the word? I underlined that word. I don't know whether you mark your Bible or not. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We've been talking about the door of heaven for some lessons now. So the door is to heaven is shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now we know that this is speaking especially to Israel, not the church, but there's lots of lessons here for us to consider. The very first word of chapter 25 is that word "then." As I said, I don't know whether you mark in your Bible, but I not only have it underlined, but I put it in parentheses. Then, and there are two other special words in this chapter that we won't get to tonight, but I'm going to tell you about them now. The next one is found in verse 16. Do you see that word "then"? Again, I have underlined that and put it in parentheses. Then, verse 16 of this chapter. Then, notice verse 31. when. See that when? I also have that underlined and in parentheses. These words set up a time. And the then of verse 1 is a continuation of the time that we read of last time in chapter 24. Then shall the kingdom of heaven. And there are different kingdoms mentioned in the Bible. The kingdom of God we read of refers to all that God is and to all that he owns and includes the kingdom of heaven. A better rendering of this phrase here, then shall the kingdom or kingdoms of heaven, because in the Greek text, it is plural. Mm-hmm. And the kingdoms of heaven are here likened unto 10 virgins. And 10, in Bible numerology, it speaks of responsibility. Responsibility, the number 10, in Bible numerology, speaks of responsibility. And also a virgin speaks of purity and holiness. A virgin speaks of purity and holiness. Now I am going to read 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3 here. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verses 2 and 3. Paul says here, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, the reason that I read this isn't talking about Israel necessarily here. This is written to the church. But I read because it has used the word virgin. And here, Paul says, a chaste virgin unto Christ. Everyone who is saved is considered a virgin. Also, every believer is called a saint. Not because you're good, but because Christ lives in us. And so we are a saint. Amen. We have that life of Christ within. You are a virgin in Christ, not defiled. That life is not defiled, right? And as such, we are responsible to God. As I said, we see these important personal applications that we can make to us in this age, even though this was written, Jesus was speaking to Israel. But as such, we are responsible to God for the work of God in our lives. And just like the servants that we read of, I've lost my place here, I'm sorry. Yes, we read earlier about the servants and how responsible they were to God. Just like the servants in chapter 24, that's in verse 45 and 48. I'm not going to go back there, but they were responsible. And now concerning the number 10, I want to say a few things about the number 10. We see that in Bible numerology that it speaks of responsibility. So we want to bear that out by some of the scriptures. I can't have them all. But in Ezekiel 28:13, Satan had a covering of 10 precious stones, but he failed his responsibility. And we read in Exodus chapter 7, actually through chapter 11, of the 10 plagues that God sent up on Egypt. And the last one was death. You remember that? And Israel was, Egypt was responsible to listen to God, but failed in that responsibility. And in Exodus, the 20th chapter, God gave man 10 things to do. I'm speaking of the 10 commandments. He gave man just 10 things to do, but man failed the responsibility. And then we go to the New Testament in Luke, the 19th chapter. Remember, the servants were given 10 pounds and they were responsible to invest those pounds. But they, of course, we saw not all were responsible, were they? And then these 10 virgins, they represent the individual responsibility to get ready for eternity. Now, that's true in the age that he's speaking to here. When he's speaking to the Jews, that was the age of the law. But this is true in our age, this age of grace. We are individually responsible to get ready for eternity. I should say we should get ready to see the Lord, shouldn't we? What is our responsibility? Well, our major responsibility is to know Jesus and to be ready for his coming and for eternity. God wants a people who are responsible, people who will stand in the gap and do what he wants them to do. He's looking for faithful ones, isn't he? Praise the Lord. And as we are going to read tonight, for those that are ready, the bride is not mentioned in this parable, even though some might try to give a teaching that it is. No, the bride is not mentioned in this parable. Why? Well, have we been following along his prophetic events? Well, the bride has been responsible, found responsible. She was found ready. She's already gone. She's already in heaven at this time, I'm saying. And we don't even see the second rank, the innumerable company of chapter 7 of Revelation in this parable. They also are already gone. They're already in heaven. And Jesus is prophesying to Israel here. And we will look at the time element later on. But the purpose we have now here, what we're seeing, is that they took lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. They were not responsible enough to be in the bride company, because we know in the bride company there's going to be Jew and Gentile. Because all people, country, nations, and tribes, and so on. And nor were they ready when the innumerable company went up. And also, they were also out of every country and nation and so on. So they did not, we know the innumerable company is going to be servants at the wedding. I brought that out in an earlier lesson, so I'm not going to go through those accompanying verses to bring that out. But they are the servants. And of course, the first rank is the bride. And so Who then is the five wise virgins? I'm getting ahead of myself, but I already will say who they are. These are the guests at the wedding. And when they're at a Jewish wedding, there were two phases. First, the bridegroom went to the bride's home with his servants and his very best friend and to get his bride. And then the marriage takes place at the bride's father's home. And then the second phase is that he takes his bride to his own home, and there they would have a festival. Now, this is how the in the olden days, anyway, in the time of Jesus and before, this is according to how the Jewish weddings went. And they would drink, and they would be joyful and excited over the wedding. And sometimes these festivals would last for days. I'm going to read John 3 to bring out about the friend of the bride. You know, we might say the best man. In John, the third chapter, I'm going to read verse 28 and verse 29. This is a John, and John says, "Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled." So that's why I was reading that. Okay, and then we know that in John, the second chapter, remember Jesus' first miracle that he performed? He turned the water into wine at that wedding in Cana. That's in John, the second chapter, the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And when now we're looking at a wedding that's going to take place, the wedding of the Lamb, he's going to supply the joy at his own wedding, just like he did turning that water into wine. Well, these 10 virgins, they are invited to the festival. And five of them, we read, are wise, and five were foolish. Now, we know what the number five speaks of in Bible numerology. It speaks of grace. And just what made the five wise and the five foolish? Well, the difference was the oil they had. And the five wise had oil with them. That's what we read in verse 4. And in the scripture, the Holy Spirit, almost in every case, there is the reference to oil. The oil, speaking of the Holy Spirit. I kind of said that backwards. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of the oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I said it backwards. Well, as I said, almost in every case, and it has reference to the Holy Spirit anointing our hearts and our lives. And I want to read Isaiah 61:1, and you just listen to it. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Now, this is prophecy of the Lord. It's speaking of Christ. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound." But the reason I read this was that this is prophecy of Jesus, being anointed with the Holy Ghost. We know who when that took place, when he was baptized, remember? And that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and lighted up on him. It was a figure of his anointing with the Holy Spirit. And he was being anointed for his public ministry. Did we not read there in Isaiah to preach the good tidings? Yes. And Jesus quoted part of this. I didn't look up the scripture to give it to you from the Gospels, but I think you know this, that he quoted that from Isaiah, referring to himself. And the anointing of the oil is the Holy Spirit. And it did operate in his life as he walked here upon earth. Yes, we read that he was led, also hindered. He was even driven by the Spirit. We could read all those scriptures, but we're not going to. Everything he did was under the influence of the Holy Spirit as he walked here up on earth. And in our chapter here, verse 5 and 6, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Night was coming upon them. And it says, we just got through reading, they all slumbered and slept. And the apostle Paul wrote in Thessalonians, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be awake, awakened to the time that we're living and the soonness of the Lord's coming. And there in Thessalonians, it says, we are not children of the night, we are children of the day. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, the darkest part of the night is midnight till 2 a.m. And so midnight represents the last 3.5 years of tribulation. Wow, that's going to be a terrific time. And when midnight approaches is when Satan is cast out of heaven and enters into a man, the Antichrist. And as it approached midnight, the midnight hour, and they all slumbered and slept, they're the last rank of the church. The 144,000 is the last rank of the church. And they're going to be caught up before Satan is cast out of heaven. All of the church will be in heaven when he is cast out. And we know by the book of Revelation, I'm not making it up. You studied the book of Revelation and you know that they will be 144,000, what? Of Israel. And Revelation, the book of Revelation gives us maybe more detail. But five wise virgins represent the 144,000. But what did we read of the virgins? They all slumbered and slept. But they wake up suddenly when the cry goes forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And in verse 7, we read, they all arose and trimmed their lamps. And then we read in verse 8, that the foolish five had little oil. And the saints need to be charged with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 says that the wise cannot give the Holy Spirit unto anyone. Although we'd like to sometimes, we'd like to just grasp them and fill them, but we can't do that. But the five wise did give some good advice, and that was, it said, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, a companion verse for this, you might write it in, Isaiah 55:1. I'll turn and read it to you. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without honey and without price. So this buying is a figure of speech, you might say, of obtaining something without money and without price. And it's there for them, but they hadn't gotten it. Verse 10, they that were ready went in. Did you underline that, ready? They that were ready went into the marriage feast, and the door was shut. The door to heaven was shut. No one else could get in. It reminds us of God shutting the door to the ark. He's the one that shut the door to the ark, and then what? Judgment came. The flood came. Let's look at verse 11 and 12 and read that again. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, this does not mean that they were not virgins, because they were. But the door is shut to the wedding feast, and he did not know them as the wise virgins here. He did not know them in that way. All right, verse 13 is important. The first word I have underlined, it says watch. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And as I said before, this is written unto Israel, and there's going to be a wedding. And the ones who didn't get in, I'm talking about the five foolish ones, they will remain on the earth, and they will go through tribulation. So that's all the farther I'm going to go tonight. That's a lot. Yes, that's a lot. And the Lord willing, we will continue with the next portion of this chapter, next lesson.
Sitting president group.